Let me just welcome you again. How to study the Bible for yourself. And we've already looked at one program on how to study the Bible. This was a program that you would download on your computer. And there's a number of those types of computers. This time, we're going to look at an online program. And before we get into this, let's once more bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, you've been leading us on a journey into the Bible to understand it, because we know that that the Bible contains the words of life that we need, and especially in these final hours of our Earth's history, we need the Bible. Just like the hymn writer said, give me the Bible, and that's our prayer. So help us and guide us in our study this evening is our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I think what we're going to do here, what we're going to accomplish here, is we're going to basically go through one program. There's a number of different programs that you can go through. In fact, this program is not a program that I've used a lot, but I'll tell you why I've gone with this program is because it has certain features that I really like. And so what I highly recommend is that you look around the internet and that you find a Bible study program that you like and that you use that. So for me, I've really come to like this one because it's got some really cool features. And so let's pause a moment here as we redirect and I'll show you how this works. The Blue Letter Bible is a program that that is online, of course, and there's, as I mentioned before, there's some advantages to having online programs, namely that they provide a whole host of more copyrighted materials and things that are very useful. The downside to online programs is you have to have a wireless connection. And I should also mention, in our last presentation, I didn't say this, but when you first download the program, then you have to, when you first download the program off of the DVD disc, then you have to have a wireless connection to be able to download future modules. So you do need a wireless connection initially to kind of get the program set up, and then after that, you don't have to worry about having an internet connection. But in this program here, it uses an internet connection all the time. To start off with, really there are two boxes, and I'm going to be spending our entire time talking about these two boxes. Now, if you see my cursor here, up at the very top is the search option. So you click on that, and it brings up a search box, okay, search tools, and you type in whatever words that you want. Okay, so I'm going to type in something. I'm going to type in three words. Okay, faith, hope, love. Okay, faith, hope, love. See if there's any hits on that. Okay, oh, look at that. And immediately it pops up when you enter those three words, it pops up with a new box, and I just want to walk you through this step by step. Notice the tab at the top. It says primary. When it says primary, it means that every one of those words or phrase or whatever that you typed into that search box shows up in a verse. Okay? So when I typed in three words, what were they? Faith, hope, love. Then there are two verses that have faith, hope, and love. And what are they? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now notice at the very end of the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, he repeats it again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So notice, you know, when you type in these words, it narrows it down very quickly. Now, when we saw in the Strong's Concordance, on the app at least, you could only put in one word. You couldn't put in multiple words. So you see this automatically, this becomes a lot more powerful. You can narrow things down very quickly. Now, do I use the Strong's Concordance? It depends. If I have it right handy and I have my computer's nowhere around, yeah, I'll use Strong's Concordance. I'll use whatever I have. I'll use Google. We'll talk about Google, okay? And how to use Google. Google is a very powerful Bible study tool, and I'll talk about how to use that. Okay, so that's the primary tab. Everything that you put in that search function, that search box, is gonna, boom, it's gonna show up under primary. But what about secondary? Notice here, secondary, you have combinations. Of course, faith, hope, and love, it says see primary results, so that was those two verses, okay? But what about faith and hope? Well, there's 8 results. What about faith and love? 16 results. And of course, you can click on these. Each one of these things is, when it's blue, you can click on it. You just click on it, and it shows up 16 results. Faith and love, 3 results. Faith individually, 231. Hope individually is 121. And love is 280. So you see, you can have combinations. This program is crunching those numbers very quickly, and it's allowing you to see what kind of combinations if you want to search in that way. So again, if you click on, let's click on this, faith and hope, you click on that, and then all of a sudden, exact matches, you have it right here. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Romans 5:2, 2 Corinthians 10:15, Galatians 5:5, so on and so forth. And so it's occurs 16 times in 8 verses. Okay? So let me go back here. So we're going backwards here. So that was primary. Primary is, again, everything that shows up in a search thing. Secondary is combinations. What kind of combinations? Dictionaries. Now look at this. If you want to look up in Bible dictionaries, automatically it takes those search words and it looks up in the dictionaries, the different dictionaries, like Easton's Bible Dictionary. That's a very famous dictionary. Faith, hope, love, and proportion of faith. Those are all different entries. And of course, you can click on each one of those and it'll give you an article. Let's look at this. Proportion of faith. Boom. There it is. Okay, so it automatically shows up immediately. Let's go backwards here. So you have Easton's Bible Dictionary. You have International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Again, very, very famous, ISBE. The Knaves Topical Bible. This is very thorough. Let me just click on faith and let me show you how thorough that is. Look at that. Those are all the general scriptures concerning faith, and then faith enjoined and faith exemplified. Again, don't get lost in all of the, you know, you need to narrow it down. If you're going to spend all this time looking up each one of those passages, it's very easy to get lost in a sea of information, okay? Instances of faith, Noah building the ark, Genesis, and then Abraham, and forsaking the land of his nativity, believing the promise of many descendants, and the offering up of Isaac, and it gives passages, and so on. So these can be very useful in doing word studies. If you're going to do a word study, let's say on the topic of faith, you know, looking at some of these examples. Okay, so Knaves, the fight of faith, hope, love, and then thematic subject guide, brotherly love, faith in Christ, faith in God, and then so on. And you can go down. There's all of these different references each have clickable links that will take you to the different things. So dictionaries, again, very useful. And again, these are kind of generalized words, faith, hope, and love. Those are just kind of abstract words, okay? Abstract words. But let's say you did something on that was not abstract, like Jericho, okay? All of a sudden, boom, you have all these different articles on Jericho. It becomes very useful. See what I'm saying? So, in fact, let's do that just now. Okay, let's go Jericho. J-E-R-I-C-H-O, Jericho. And look at that. Easton's Bible Dictionary has entry on Jericho, Hitchcock, International Standard, Knave's Topical Bible, Smith's Bible Dictionary, so on and so forth. So it's, again, by using this search box, it automatically, you can get what you want right with a couple of keystrokes. Okay, so let's go back to Faith, Hope, and Love. Okay, we have, I don't know how you pronounce that, Lexiconk. Is that how you say it? Okay. Now what this does, and this is kind of interesting, what this does is it takes the English word and it looks through the English equivalent or the dictionary definitions, and it says, is any part of this word part of the definition or the interpretation? And if so, what is the original word? Okay, so you see faith, faithful, true, faith. And so you go down to the bottom. Look at the bottom one here. Treacherous, transgressor, transgressor, deceitful, treacherous, dealer, treacherous, an unfaithful man, treacherous men, unfaithfully. This is the word bagad, which is the Hebrew H-898. And that's, of course, in the Strong's Concordance. That's the Hebrew. Now, notice when, excuse me, when you highlight the word, it becomes a clickable link. So let's say you want to go directly to the Strong's Concordance. You can do that. You click on that, and what do you have? It says Strong's Concordance, H-898. That is bagad. Then it has the transliteration, the pronunciation, the part of speech, the root word, so on and so forth. And then the translation down here, Strong's definition. And then you have, of course, other lexicons, Genius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon, and it gives for bagad. Okay, and see what else we have. I think that's about it. Now, a lot of this, you're just going to have to kind of work out on your own and see what works for you. So, and then finally, the frequently asked questions, this is facts. It says, and some of these questions might be useful, might be helpful. Is God faithful? One of the attributes of God is his faithfulness. When we say God is faithful, it means he is totally trustworthy. He's perfectly faithful. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name." So these are, again, articles that are written on the topic of either faith, hope, or love. Okay, what is the meaning of the resurrection, the attributes of God, and so on. So, again, it might be useful. But again, most of what we're looking for is tools. We're not looking for information. We're not wanting to be reflectors of other men's thoughts. We want to search the scriptures. You know, isn't that what the scripture says? Search the scriptures, you know? And so that's what our whole purpose is to search the scriptures. All right. Let's go back here. Let's go back to primary. Okay, so this is faith, hope, and love. And let's just look at this. This is 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Of course, you can click on that if you want to look at it. And then it shows, if you just click on that, then it shows before, it shows the verse, but it also shows the whole chapter. So you can look before and after, okay? So you can read it in context. So when you click on the passage, it's going to show the whole chapter, and so you can read the context. Now, 1 verse 3, look over here. Let's turn that cursor, and let's go over here to tools. Now, notice all sorts. This is where it gets kind of exciting. You have interlinear. You have different Bibles. You have cross-references. You have commentaries. You have dictionaries, and then you have miscellaneous. So let's click on that. Tools. Now watch what happens here. You you have each of those tabs at the top was what came up that we just looked at. Interlinear, Bibles, cross-references, commentaries, dictionaries, and miscellaneous. Now notice what you want to do, and what I suggest, you can use the reverse interlinear. See where my cursor is? It says reverse interlinear. But what I prefer is I prefer to go with the interlinear. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, the reverse interlinear is going from an English word to the Greek word. And what the interlinear is it's going from the Greek word to the English word. And why does that make a difference? Now watch what happens. When we clicked on the interlinear, notice what happens here. You highlight this word right up here. What is this? Adialeptos? Okay, that's how you pronounce it. Adialeptos. Okay, and notice it highlights down here what that word is. Now let me move the cursor across and I highlight this, and notice it highlights down here. So, and you can keep moving that way. Hupon, this is a personal pronoun, okay? And now notice something here. You come down here and you look, here's the Greek word, okay? Here's the Strong's. Here is the English. This is a English phrase without ceasing. And if you want to do a search just on that phrase, you can click this button. I won't do that. But if you want to just say, well, where in the Bible does it use that phrase without ceasing? Like to pray without ceasing. Or without ceasing. Okay, so if you click on that, then that will show up all the places in the English. Okay, you can click on this, and this is somebody actually went through every single word in the Strong's Concordance and actually pronounced it, so that you can actually listen to it. So you say, what in the world is that word? How does that sound? Well, you can click on it. And then comes an interesting part. This goes a little bit deeper, and this is why I like this program, is that you can parse the word. Okay? So it shows adialeptos is an adverb. Okay? An adverb, of course, modifies a verb. But let's go down here. Let's go down here and let's find a verb. Right here, this is a verb. This is a present participle, active, nominative, masculine, plural. And you're like, oh my, now I have to know Greek. Well, yeah. If you're into Greek, that might be useful. It may not be. There's also a couple of references that they can download. That kind of teach you a user-friendly way of understanding the Greek and the Hebrew. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. So basically here, you can look and you can see how this the interlinear how this verse is laid out, but also it shows the Strong's, and we've already talked about how to use the Strong's, how to look up words. Okay, so that's probably what the strength of this part of the program is that as you look at that word, then you say, I want to look up the Strong's. I want to see what the different definitions are for the Strong's, and you can do that from the interlinear part. Now let's go to Bibles here. When you've clicked on 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, and you click on this Bibles tab, it gives you 18 different versions of the Bible. Many of them are copyrighted. So the New King James is a copyrighted Bible. The New Living, copyrighted. New International, copyrighted. Let's see, New American Standard is copyrighted. Going down here, I think those are pretty much the ones that you would typically find in like a Bible bookstore. Okay, but the nice part is that you don't have to pay for them. You can just read them online. All right, let's go to the next tab. This is cross-referencing. This is something called Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Now, again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, this is a cross-referencing. Now, many of you, how many of you have a Bible where you have a center column and you have cross-references? And for a verse, maybe you have one or two, perhaps three, but cross-references. Well, this is a whole book with nothing but cross-referencing. And it's kind of like cross-referencing on steroids, okay? It's got lots and lots of different options. And so here, notice when you hit 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, it says remembering, and then you look down below, because it's highlighted in red, then you look down below and you see what cross-references use that phrase, and where does it link to? 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 5, and then your, and labor, and patience in the sight of our God and Father. And so notice all these Bible texts. You say, oh my, now I have to look up all those Bible texts? No, they do it for you. So you look down here and you see under each category, you see each of these Bible texts and it's already there for you. So all you have to do is just scroll down and you can look up each one of these Bible texts. Okay? So it's very, very useful there, cross-referencing. Again, commentaries. Oh boy, again, commentaries. What did we say? Treat commentaries as your kind of distant friends, not your close relatives. Okay, so what I typically do is I'll study the Bible on my own. Okay, and then when it comes to time to study commentaries, I usually study in Spirit of Prophecy, and then I'll look at other commentaries that I find are very solid, biblically based. Remember, commentaries are no better than the scholar that writes them. And so if the scholar doesn't believe in a high understanding of the Bible, they don't believe in the literal inspiration of the Bible, then it's going to reflect in what he says. Okay, so lots of commentaries. Many of these are new commentaries, video commentaries and stuff like that. And so there you go. Dictionaries, again, a little bit of a repeat. You have all sorts of dictionaries here on that specific, this time it's on that specific work, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. And then miscellaneous maps and stuff like that. You can click on that. Now, go back up to the Bible. Go back up to the top. We've already looked at the search box at the very top. Now we're going to go and click on the study box. If you thought the last one had a lot of material, this one has even more, but not all of it's good. And so let me just walk you through just some of the examples of stuff that's available here, and you can just kind of see what works for you, okay? Again, Bible commentaries, this you've got it here. This time, you've got lots of different options here. Some of them are old, like Martin Luther. That's 500 years old, okay? But you click on Martin Luther, and what do we have? A number of books. His book on Galatians. Let's say you're doing a study on Galatians, you know, or you're doing a sermon study on Galatians. You think it's helpful to maybe read a little bit of what Martin Luther said? Yeah, of course, because he's the father of the Reformation. 95 Theses, The Incarnation, Concerning Christian Liberty, A Treatise on Good Works, and Miscellaneous Sermons. So, again, lots and lots of resources. This is why I say don't spend thousands of dollars on stuff that much of which is freely available on the internet. Okay, Mark Eastman is a very famous commentary. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers, probably the greatest preacher that was ever produced in England, was C.H. Spurgeon. Anyways, and there's some new people kind of interspersed between these commentaries. Okay, George Whitefield, he was a great preacher. What was he called? God's Trumpet. You know, he had such an incredible voice. He was destined to become a great virtuoso, a great opera singer. He had such an incredible voice, and God took him and redirected his life, he could preach and people could hear him up to a kilometer away. I mean, we're talking about a voice that was like none other. And people said that they could hear his voice up to a kilometer. Just amazing. So lots of resources there. Let's go back here. Audio and video commentaries. Again, most of those videos and audio commentaries, I wouldn't necessarily recommend. You can look through there and see if it works. Now look down here, Bible reference, Harmony of the Gospels. This is actually very helpful, and this has been around for a while. What it does is it takes the entire New Testament in all four Gospels and puts them in parallel. Then what it does is it takes a phrase of the story. Let's say the birth of John the Baptist foretold. Let's write down here. Well, where is that foretold? Well, it's only in one gospel. So you highlight Luke 1, 5 through 28, and notice it just pops right up there. So you can just read that right off. You don't even have to click on it. You know, you can read that right there, and you can scroll up and down. Let's say you go down here and you have the wise men from the east. Where does that show up? Only shows up in Matthew. Okay, are you following along? But then you go to other stories. You have Andrew, Simon, James, and John are called. Well, those are in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so what you can do is you can compare the accounts. Remember, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, but we approach the Bible in such a way so that each person throws or sheds new light. And so we use a composite understanding of Scripture to understand the bigger picture. It's just like if you had something happen on the street, an event happened on the street, and you go and you ask the eyewitnesses, well, what did you see? Well, no two eyewitnesses are going to see the same thing, or they're going to say the same thing. They're going to each give a slightly different rendition. Well, which one's true? Well, they're all true, of course. But you use a composite picture, and so it's the same way with the Gospels. And so this is where this is so valuable, is that you can look and you can see where each of these things are very quickly, and you can zoom in on that and read that. So it's very useful when you're studying the Gospels. Okay, it's called the Harmony of the Gospels. Of course, encyclopedias and dictionaries. Now, this is a little bit different. What you're doing here is you're actually looking up specific words. Now, you could do that in other venues. You could put it in your search bar and then it'll pop up. But here it uses it slightly different. Let's use a word. Okay, let's go for David. Okay, so D-A-V-I-D. So you scroll down. We'll find David. Okay, David, right here. Click on that. And notice the E-H-I and so on. So you have Easton's Bible Dictionary. It shows you everything there. I believe, is the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. There it is. And so long articles, you can read those. Okay, so that's just a method where you can just specifically put in the search terms. Okay, actually you have to click on the letter and then you narrow it down, and it shows all the different Bible dictionaries that you look under. All right, how are we doing so far? Okay, topical indexes. Let me see what this is. Some of these are good. I think the first three, Hitchcock's topical analysis of the Bible, Thompson's chain reference. How many of you remember the old Thompson's chain reference? Yeah, I used to have a Bible that had that. And it was very interesting. I didn't realize it at the time, but as I was looking through this, those Thompson's chain references, there's about 93 or 94 of them, but they're almost like little miniature sermons. Okay, so you click on that, and there's little miniature sermons, Christ, Conqueror of Death. Okay, and so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses. And so it's like a little miniature sermon. And so you can, and it's very well put together. So That might be a useful resource if you're putting together like a sermon or doing something of the like. Okay, charts and outlines. Let me move through this. Now look at all these options. So many different things. I'm not going to go through all of these. We just don't have time to do this. So you're going to have to kind of look through this. But the one that I will say is parallel passages in, no, sorry. What was it? The Old Testament. There was something. Okay, we had the harmony of the Gospels. I can't find it. There was something where it's like the harmony of the Gospels, except it was for the Old Testament. And let me see if I can find it here. I don't see this here. Okay, so let's just continue on. Historical, cultural, and so on. I'm not going to go through all of this. Then charts and outlines. We already looked at that. Timelines, maps, and images. Here's an interesting one. You go through maps and images. About the only one that I thought was interesting was the Rose Publishing maps and charts. And you've got timelines here. Okay, different timelines that you can go through, and then like Paul's missionary journeys, Paul's first journey, and then his second journey, and third and fourth, and so on and so forth. So some of these are useful. I didn't find a lot of good resources, but the problem with this is that it's not real comprehensive. So there's not a lot of maps in this program. But that's okay because I use Google. Whenever I'm looking something up, I just type it right into the Google taskbar and I go over and I hit images and immediately it shows all the different pictures and then I click on whatever I like. So Google, don't underestimate the fact that Google is a very valuable tool when it comes to studying the Bible. Use it. Okay, and you can type in almost anything. You can say, introduction to 1 Corinthians. Okay, and boom, you'll have all the information that you'd possibly want right at your fingertips. So use Google because it's a very useful resource. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. Let me just go back and double check here. Okay, again, there's multimedia stuff. And again, there's books, articles, lots and lots of resources here. Again, don't get lost in all the clutter and miss your purpose. Your purpose, at least what we're talking about here, is we want to study the Bible for ourselves. And so we're going to use these tools if they're helpful to us. But if they're not, our purpose is to use the search functions. Okay, so I hope I didn't leave you behind. I hope this is helpful. Okay, why don't we pause right here and let's redirect, and then I'll just close off here. Well, I know I gave you a lot of information, and I hope it's helpful. At least it stimulates your mind to see what's out there. And again, this is not a prescription. I'm just saying these are tools that I use. These are tools that are available, and you can have it at your fingertips. Of course, if you're not into computers, that's why we've been using other resources like the Strong's in the Book Concordance or in the book form. Or the Bible dictionary in a book form. Again, you don't have to, don't think that in order to study the Bible, you have to be a computer geek. You don't. But what I want to show is if you are tuned into the computer age, now there's tremendous resources that are available and very helpful, and use them as a tool to enhance your Bible study. And if you have questions, come and talk to me. I don't have all the answers, but hopefully I can point you in a direction that that is useful. And so anyways, I hope this has been helpful. And let's bow our heads for a word of closing prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together. Thank you again that we live in such a day and age which was prophesied that knowledge would increase. And Lord, as we have seen literally the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy that knowledge would increase, that we can utilize that increase in knowledge to help us to unpack some of these mysteries of the Bible. So guide us and keep helping us as we move forward. We pray this in your name. Amen.